Good morning, Barbados. Welcome to Getting Down to Brass Tacks for Tuesday, March 13th. I'm Sanka Price, and I'll be your moderator for this program, which finishes today at 2 p.m. Graham Vaughan is our producer, and his voice will be the first you'll hear when you call us today at 4341-790. You can also participate by contacting us via WhatsApp at 266-4862 or by sending an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. This program is taking place today as Grenadians go to the polls. Their last general election was on February 19th, 2013, when the Keith Mitchell-led New National Party won all 15 seats on offer. Antiguans will be going to the polls next Wednesday, March 21st, 3.5 years after the Gaston Brown-led Antigua and Barbuda Labour Party won the last elections there on June 12, 2014. As you are aware, Barbadians are still waiting for an election date to be announced, though the ruling Democrat Labour Party was re-elected on February 21st, 2013, that is 2 days after the Grenada elections were held. While we're waiting for Prime Minister Fondell Stewart to decide the date for the next general elections, Brass Tacks will afford all Barbadians the opportunity to hear directly from the various political parties on some of the major topics affecting the country every Tuesday through the People's Parliament. And today, in the second installment of the People's Parliament, we will be focusing on what can be done to improve the Barbados economy and examine the different policy options so far stated by the competing political parties to deal with this issue. So, ladies and gentlemen, the People's Parliament is now in session, and I have with me in the studio no one as yet from the Democrat Labour Party, and they're supposed to be sending someone, but I have from the main opposition party, Mr. Ryan Strawn. I also have from the minority opposition party, which is the United Progressive Party, Mr. Bruce Hennis, and I have from Solutions Barbados, Mr. Scott Weatherhead. Gentlemen, good morning. To set the scene, what we're going to do is we're going to go to the phone lines and we're going to speak to Mr. Shane Lowe from the Barbados Economic Society. And the question that I'm putting to Shane is, given the state of the Barbados economy, what are the key issues the political parties should be concerned with for the forthcoming general elections? Shane, good morning. Are you there?
Hi, good morning, Sanka. Thank you very much for having me. And good morning, Barbados, and to your guests. So, Sanka, before I get into the main issues, I think it's probably important to just set the stage as to where we are today and to some extent how we got here. So certainly I think it's well documented that Barbados has, we have very low foreign exchange reserves today, and they continue to fall, and they've declined every year since 2013. 2012 was the last year where we saw some increase in the foreign exchange reserves, and 2012 is also, not necessarily coincidentally, the year where we lost investment grade from both S&P as well as Moody's. Over the last 5 years, we've seen that decline in reserves, not necessarily because imports have increased at a staggering rate, but simply because of the declining credit rating having a negative impact on our ability to borrow to finance a deficit between foreign exchange inflows and outflows. It has meant that we've had to repay foreign debt, particularly on large facilities like the Credit Suisse loan, as well as on the prison and some others, out of reserves, as opposed to being able to attract capital from foreign investment and from foreign creditors. So certainly the immediate issue that needs to be dealt with is to stabilize the reserves, not just through asset sales for 2018, but also for 2019 as well, because this is a problem that is not going to disappear in the short term. It's going to continue. By the end of this year, we will be seeing more pressure on the reserves, and in 2019, we would like to see that pressure continue. The second issue that we need to deal with is the credit rating. The credit rating is linked to your level of indebtedness, which is linked to the fiscal deficit. And having a fiscal deficit that's too large and having a debt level that's too large means your credit rating will ultimately be lower than you would probably like it to be. And so restoring that credit rating, or at least putting it on an upward trajectory, is very important, because while we can probably afford to pay or to service our debt this year, in 2021 and 2022, we have two very large loans that we have to repay. One is $300 million, the other is $400 million. And in order to repay those, or to be able to at least ask the current holders of those bonds to roll them over and hold them again at favorable rates, we're going to have a credit rating that ensures them or gives them some comfort that the government will not default on those debts. All of this will certainly require some sort of fiscal consolidation because the credit rating is linked to your fiscal deficit. The third issue I think that needs to be addressed, therefore, is accelerating economic growth. Economic growth has been relatively low over the last, since 2009, since the crisis hit. Notwithstanding some improvement in tourism, some of the larger sectors in the economy, particularly the largest sector, which is the distribution sector, has slowed significantly. And that is the sector that generates a lot of the, as you can imagine, the value-added tax and other revenues that the government earns. But that sector has not grown very quickly because, again, government has had to reduce its expenditure and has to increase additional taxes to reduce its fiscal deficit, and the spending power of persons has declined. What we've seen in Jamaica over the last 4 or 5 years is notwithstanding the improvements that they've seen with their economy, having a balanced budget now, having reserves at about 25 weeks of imports, being able to borrow in international markets. One of the major concerns that continues to hamper Jamaica's progress under these IMF programs is their low growth. So any new government is going to have to find a way through within an IMF program or within some fiscal consolidation program to ensure that they can accelerate growth so that people can buy into the program, people can buy into having to pay additional taxes or having to experience cuts in expenditure. What it will also mean is that government is going to have to shift its expenditure from being so much focused on the current expenditure to on capital expenditure, because capital expenditure, which is through building of roads, building of buildings, purchasing certain assets, those things help to generate growth as well, more so than the current expenditure. And the final area I want to touch on, which is a longer-term view, is closing that persistent gap between foreign exchange inflows and outflows, not necessarily through additional borrowing or additional investment into Barbados, but putting Barbados in a position where it can earn foreign exchange from its investments overseas and earn foreign exchange from tourism as well, but also from its investments overseas. So just as an example, we paid out as a country about $900 million in interest and dividends and other payments to non-residents last year based on the investments they have made in Barbados over time. But we only earned about half of that, or about $500 million in investments overseas that we have made as a country. So to shift that imbalance, we need to be able to, as a country, invest overseas as well and earn from owning stocks and bonds and farms and manufacturing plants and other things in other parts of the world that are growing. And what that means then is that we don't consider just our wealth in terms of gross domestic product or what we produce in Barbados, but we consider our wealth in terms of the gross national product, which is what the production that is owned by Barbadians, regardless of where that production takes place in the world. And so just to summarize, I think those four key points need to be addressed. Firstly, immediately addressing the foreign exchange situation, getting some inflows coming into Barbados over the next 2 years. Secondly, reversing the trend in the fiscal, the trend in the credit rating, which is linked to the fiscal deficit. Thirdly, accelerating growth so that that is in the fiscal consolidation effort. It keeps people employed, particularly in the private sector, but it also aids in government's revenue earning capacity, which reduces the need for it to cut certain expenditures as much as it would otherwise have to. And finally, fits in the persistent imbalance between foreign exchange inflows and outflows, particularly when it comes to interest earned or income earned from investments overseas relative to income spent on investments that persons have made from overseas.
Thank you, Shane. Just let me ask you a question here. How can we table, you made the point that the reserves are trending down. They have been for the last several years. In fact, since 2012, we've lost over $1 billion in foreign reserves. With the price of oil rising on the international markets, how do you think we can handle this with our reserves dropping?
Well, I think over the longer term, we can make some adjustments. So we can make the investments in renewable energy. We can expand the capacity in tourism, which we have been doing with additional hotels. we can get into other more creative and new sectors which earn foreign exchange. Those things, however, require the capacity and require you to build those things out. And if we had $2 billion in reserves, which were very stable, we could probably spend the time doing that and not do anything else. The challenge is that in the short term, we need to stabilize the reserves.
How do we do that?
Right, so I'm getting to that. Right. So earning more foreign exchange from tourism, et cetera, is not going to do it in the short term. Cutting imports will not do it in the short term unless you cut imports by a drastic amount. And because most of what we consume is imported, it means cutting the consumption of citizens by a significant amount, and that has significant effects on social welfare. And attracting foreign direct investment will not, we won't get it done overnight if the ease of doing business doesn't improve very quickly. So the other approach is borrowing. Now, to borrow, we currently on the commercial markets, we're going to have to pay very high rates because of the credit rating. The alternative is that you can borrow for someone who will lend you at a cheaper rate. Now, one of those options might be the IMF. It might be another multilateral agency, but the IMF is certainly one agency that you can go to not only borrow from at a lower rate to stabilize the reserves over a period of time, but also what it affords you the opportunity to do is it allows you to meet certain targets every quarter to say that you've achieved some reduction in your fiscal deficit, you have achieved some increase in your foreign exchange reserves through improvements in tourism, inflows, etc. And that adds credibility to international investors, which helps when it comes to improving the credit rating as well. So in the short term, the IMF can provide the funding, but in the medium term, they also provide some credibility as long as you're able to keep track with the program that you've agreed to, whether it be a homegrown program or a program that they have provided that you've agreed to follow.
Okay, thank you very much, Shane, and have a great day. We'll take a commercial break right here, and when we come back, we'll be talking to all the political parties that are here, and we'll also be asking them the same question. Given the state of the Barbados economy, what are the key issues they will be putting on the table to deal with our deteriorating situation? We take a commercial break. Welcome back to the People's Parliament. We're now fully in session. We'll start first with the official opposition, Mr. Ryan Strawn, and we're asking the question, given the state of the Barbados economy, what are the key issues that your party are concerned about? And we'll ask everyone this question before we move into looking at some of these solutions.
All right. Good morning, Sanka. Good morning, colleagues. Good morning, Barbados. First of all, let me start by making an observation. As we were waiting to come on air, there was a song by Chagallos suggesting that the people get a government that they deserve. And I want to say in no uncertain terms that no person, any part of the world deserves a government as this Democratic Labour Party administration. Because what we're here to discuss today demonstrates the clear lack of caring, commitment, or even the awareness to understand the environment in which you're operating. And so to the extent, as I was listening to Shane just now give his summary of where we are right now, it was almost as if I was in a twilight zone, because 5 years ago I was in his position indicating that if the issues that were confronting Barbados back then weren't attended to, that we would be precisely in this position right now. And so as I sit here reflecting on where Barbados needs to go and what needs to happen, the thing that concerns me most right now is the complete inertia with respect to the government and the things that they need to do now in order to make sure that we can move forward. Now, we, as a Barbados Labour Party, are very concerned that ordinary Barbadians in this country have been made to suffer because of the draconian policies implemented year after year by this Democratic Labour Party government, which have had the complete opposite impact in terms of what they said that they wanted to do. Because at every juncture, whether it's the medium-term fiscal strategy, whether it's the Barbados Development Sustainable Growth Plan, whatever you want to call it, all of these things, the key things that were indicated in each of those areas would have been to improve the foreign reserves, maintain the control the debt levels, as well as ensuring that the monetary stability is maintained. And we are at a stage now, after 10 years, in a sense, where the economy was stable. Yes, there was a recession, but every single country in the Caribbean is growing. If we are all facing the same international environment, why is it that Barbados is so special, and I say special in inverted commas, that we are the only ones that can't seem to get our act together? And I'm saying to every single Barbadian, in the context of what needs to happen, because it's important to understand that the government's attitude, whether it's to credit ratings, whether it's to the sewage on the South Coast, whether it's to access to water in this country, whether it's to international business, whether it's to agriculture, whether it's to tourism, all of the policies that the government has would have implemented over the last 10 years have led to a deterioration in the quality of service delivery in all of these areas, and to the extent that ordinary Barbadians across this country, especially young people, have been confronted with an economy where there's very little opportunity because the government has made it particularly hard for the average person to simply live. And if the average person cannot live in the economy, in a society, I should say, then it means that your economy, the engine room, will not be able to, one, support the level of jobs, the level of incomes for people to live, and then by extension that business people and investment and all these things will be able to come into the country. And so to the extent that the government's utterances have led us to this situation, and as well as the incompetence, quite frankly, is very concerning for the Barbados Labour Party, because what is required now to move us out of this situation, really and truly the people of this country ought to be also very concerned from the perspective that after 10 years of complete incompetence by this government, we are at a stage now where Mr. Lowe is suggesting that we need to go to the International Monetary Fund. Now, 10 years ago, that was never part of the conversation. And to the extent that the Barbados Labour Party would have provided a platform leading into the 2008 election for this country to take off, this is not the conversation that we needed to be having right now. Now, where do we go from here? Now, the first order of business, essentially, to get this whole thing right is to remove this government from office. Because if this government is allowed to continue, then those things which we fear and which we are hearing from the people will come to fruition, because each and every time you've proposed anything to this government which will generate growth in this economy, which will put young people back to work, which will put households in a much more sounder financial footing, has been rejected, laughed around the place, and at the end of the day, it's people that are suffering. And fundamentally, our concern is to deliver a better life for our people, and the introduction of policies that are people-centered is what is required. And we, as we move forward this morning, we'll have a much broader discussion, but the reality is that every single Barbadian must understand that this government has worked against your interests for the last 10 years. And to the extent that we are now in a stage where there is no parliament, there's no activity to improve the current circumstances, what is it that they're doing? And potentially, there are things now that we have to be able to address to make sure that ordinary citizens understand that what is required now to move forward is not something that we ever contemplated, because all of the stuff that Shane would have spoken about there were present under the Barbados Labour Party with respect to the stabilization of the economy. And to the extent that we are back here, as Sir Lloyd Sandiford says, is something that is completely mind-boggling, and there is absolutely no defense. And I just want to just end on this. The mere fact that the government does not have a representative here this morning to address the concerns of ordinary citizens is again a demonstration of the lack of caring for people. Because at the end of the day, you cannot have a situation where you are expecting people to support you, but yet you don't even give them the courtesy of a discussion.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ryan Strong from the Barbados Labour Party. And now we move on to Mr. Bruce Hennis from the UPP, Minority Opposition.
Yeah, hey, thank you, Sanka. Listen, the issues that that were raised this morning, things like foreign exchange levels, things like lack of economic growth, those are the key things that concern us. So when we put together our, what we call our New Economy Manifesto, it was at the core of what is facing the economy that we put those matters into consideration. The foreign exchange reserves, those are really a serious issue with us. it is something that we had to look at, because a lot of the problems stem going back even before independence. You got to go back even as far as 1946. And why I say in 1946, there were certain structures and systems that were set up in place around not just the Barbadian economy, around the economies of the Caribbean as a whole. And it has pretty much left us in a position where from as far back as 70 years ago, we've been trying to break out of them. And in breaking out of them, it is very key for economic growth. And once you deal with them, you hit a lot of these issues. Things like the balance of payments. We have always been an import-led nation. But then that was set up from years ago, back in the 40s again. So we have always had a pressure on our foreign exchange reserves from as far back as the 40s. And it is something that has carried forward with us until today. It's therefore pressure the foreign exchange reserve. It is also pressure the economic growth. Things like innovation and such like, and we'll get on to this as we go ahead too. but matters such as innovation, those were discouraged in the economy as a whole. Again, from the 40s, you got to go back to the days of the Moyne Commission. Read that Moyne Commission report and you would see that outside of agricultural issues, innovation was discouraged. And so we never really were an innovative nation. And when we therefore are an import-led nation, it therefore means we import our innovation. So every time you import a car, an electric car, every time you import any sort of household appliance, you're actually importing innovation. So we're not export-led. So for decades upon decades, we have therefore pressured the economy that way. I want to raise a point as well, too. When we look at especially retained imports, we things like food and fuel, we can deal with that. But as what... it wasn't Ryan, it was
Shane.
Just trying to get the names right. What Shane said was very true. Okay, we can try and cut food, maybe adjust fuel and that sort of thing, but those are remedial measures. The key thing actually is growth, but export-led growth. We tried it once you saw a decline, especially in the services industries. We therefore saw an increase in taxes, and especially towards the latter half of last year, you're going to see some very important things. When the NSRL went on, when you check the governor's central bank reports and the central bank reports, you're going to see an increase in inflation because the NSRL was basically, increase the cost of living full stop. So the only way we can start to reverse a lot of those factors, we actually have to go to the core. And the core of it is that the country itself, the very nation itself, has to restructure its direction in which it takes. It's like taking a tanker and starting to turn it in another direction. The analogy I like to use is that especially following on upon what the governor of the central bank said. He said, look, in the 2017 report that came out in February, he said, look, we have to look at growth. He said tourism growth, and we have to look at international business growth. There's something that is common to both of them. They're both internationally based. And so he basically is saying, look, we have to become an internationally based thinking nation. And those are the key things that we have to look at. I'm going to expand upon it as we go on in the session today. But until we can start to do that, we're pretty much just going to pretty much repeat the same thing over and over and over and over again from generation to generation. Unless it literally means taking the economy as a tanker, right? And I just want to get back to that key point. It's like we have two main growth engines, tourism and international business. But it's like taking on, we have to add an extra booster to that rocket. And that's where the whole economic growth factor, there's another component that has to be added on to the economy as a whole that would take us out, literally take us out in the mire. It's something that can be done in the short term, but it also has to be built on for the long term as well. I'm just going to hold off for there for the time being, because we're going to be here for 4 hours and I have a lot more to say on that.
Thank you. And Mr. Scott Weatherhead from Solutions Barbados.
Good morning, Barbados. Good morning, Sanka. And good morning to the guys here on the panel. It's great to be back in this building after what? Must be 15 years, 17 years, maybe more, in a different capacity this time, of course, representing Solutions Barbados for the constituency of Christchurch East Central. And also, I am the one who speaks mostly on economic matters for the party. I want to say that I thought that Shane Lowe did an extremely good job of identifying the main issues facing the economy of Barbados right now. And he broke it down into four key points, that is stabilizing the foreign reserves, taking a look at the credit rating and bringing the fiscal deficit into line. He talked about the extensive debt service obligations we face in 2021 and 2022. He talked about the fact that we need to accelerate economic growth in Barbados, especially as it relates to the distribution sector. And he discussed the impacts of an IMF stabilization on Barbados, talking about what happened in Jamaica and looking at that. We need to, of course, look at the closing the fiscal deficit. We cannot continue to be running excessive fiscal deficits year after year forever. But what I'd like to say is that while he did a very good job of summarizing the problems that we all face and recognize, what I guess he's seeking from us is to understand what will each of the parties do if elected to bring this country back to stable growth and to a stable economy. So I'm not going to spend any time here today beating up upon the Democratic Labour Party for what some may say were their inadequacies. What I'm going to do, in fact, is to spend a lot of time talking about what solutions Barbados proposes is the answer to resolving these issues. Because I think, and as I will outline over the course of the next 4 hours, what it is going to take to return Barbados to a stable economic position is a completely different set of thinking. We cannot continue to use the same archaic policies that have been presented by the same two parties for 50 plus years and think that suddenly we're going to see change in the next 5 to 10 or 15 years. If you want to see change, you cannot keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. And so it is going to take completely different thinking. It's going to take out-of-the-box thinking. And that is precisely what Solutions Barbados will bring and present to the electorate over the coming election, that we are going to present a completely different plan that is not apples compared with oranges, but is pears compared with oranges. Entirely different fruit entirely. And so what we are seeing is that the major problem is it requires complete structural change to the way our economy functions, to the way our tax system functions, to the way we do business in Barbados. It requires complete structural change. And in fact, it requires structural change that, in our opinion, cannot be done by either of the two existing archaic parties.
Thank you, Mr. Weatherhead. We'll take a commercial break here. And when we come back, we'll then begin our serious questioning and quick answers to what are the solutions going forward. Welcome back, and we've been joined during the advertising break by Mr. Neil Holder from the Barbados Integrity Movement. Welcome to the People's Parliament. We're still not, no one from the Democratic Labour Party has arrived as yet, and we're hoping that someone will. Mr. Holder, I'll go straight to you, and you'll go straight onto the firing line, and I want to know, what will the Barbados Integrity Movement do to return Barbados to a stable economic position?
Good morning, Sanka. Good morning, panel. Firstly, Barbados, I do apologize for running a little late this morning, but it gave me some time to hear the panel making some representations and all of what the ills are have been addressed here. I must confess that I am in total agreement with Scott. Let us look at the solutions and not focus on the problems. We know what the problems are. And inherently, both administrations in Barbados at one point or another has created some of what we're suffering from right now. Since we have 4 hours, I really wouldn't get into pressing on what we are going to do immediately. Progressively over the program, I'll speak to these. And there are some other methods that we have that we will be looking at implementing, but those will be in our manifesto when the opportune time comes.
All right, he has deferred. Ryan, we go to you. What will the Barbados Labour Party do to return Barbados to stable economic position? Two or three ideas, short and sweet.
Well, the first order of business is to ensure that the Central Bank of Barbados stops printing money. If we have a foreign exchange crisis, it means the central bank has to be the anchor in the defense of the currency so that we can maintain the fixed exchange rate of $2, two Barbados dollars to one US dollar. That is absolutely important. Now, for the benefit of the listeners, when we talk about monetary stability, that means the central bank and the way that the central bank operates, as well as its interaction with government. And so therefore, to the extent that the Central Bank of Barbados has been a willing participant, essentially in creating an economic crisis, that has to be resolved and resolved as quickly as possible. So that has to stop. Number two, the government of Barbados, and for the benefit again of the listeners, and Shane made mention of it in his presentation. Now, 5 years ago, he would have written an article prior to the previous general election when he was the president of the Economic Society. And the fundamental thing that's gone wrong in Barbados is that the government continues to spend more money on its current expenditure than it's taken in current revenue. And to the extent that that now has become the critical issue, which has allowed the debt to increase to staggering levels. And so the government of Barbados, every single entity has to now be in a position such that it can cover its operating expenses from its revenue. And that is something that has to be returned. And I just want to state categorically, because obviously there's an attempt here to somehow suggest that the Barbados Labour Party is responsible for this economic situation. And I just want to make abundantly clear. The Barbados Labour Party has never ran a fiscal current account deficit. And that is the kind of discipline that government needs to undertake such that it supports the maintenance of the current of the fixed exchange rate. What you've seen happen in Jamaica and Guyana and Trinidad is to some extent the departure from that discipline. And so therefore, to suggest that somehow there's some old way of doing things, this is economics. And in economics, there's some basic truths that you cannot get away from. So whether it's peers or whatever it is that is being referred to, there are basic economic fundamentals that must be adhered to, irrespective of whatever you want to pursue.
But let me ask you, central bank has to stop printing money. Let's just deal with the first one. I remember the ex-governor said that at one point they were printing $50 million a month.
A month, yeah.
Good. Now, he also made the point that to not print the money would mean little chaos because the public service could not function.
No.
So therefore, how can you get the central bank to stop printing money? Are you going to cause chaos?
The government of Barbados has gone about a path of spending that is not generating any growth in the economy. And so to the extent that you're talking about shifting, because you're spending money that is not actually generating any specific output that then translates to money circulating in the context of the economy. And so therefore the central bank, erroneously in my view, and certainly it certainly is the consensus of most economists in the country, has chosen a path to help government finance ill-advised expenditures.
But as a layman,
yeah.
And I'm speaking, and I remember Reggie Hunt at the DLP's lunchtime lecture on Friday, he made the point, the government is trying to keep Barbadians employed. So that is why they're doing this. They're trying to keep Barbadians employed. So are you saying that the Barbados Labour Party is going to stop the central bank from printing and contain, keep the government from overspending as they're doing right now? Isn't that going to affect jobs in the public service?
The primary focus for any government right now is maintaining the fixed exchange rate. And I want every Barbadian to understand that that is the objective to maintain stability in this country. And so to the extent that the central bank, as well as the government, through the way that it's spending money and the way that the central bank is financing the government, is a real threat to the fixed exchange rate. And so therefore, we have to unwind that which this current administration has been doing. Now, it does not mean sending home people or whatever the case is that, I don't know who's Reggie Hunt or whoever, that this person might be suggesting. The reality is this, you have to switch your expenditures from consumption to investment through capital expenditure.
You're talking short term because...
In the short term. Because if you do not, if you spend your money trying to generate activity in the economy, you don't spend your money simply to say you're keeping somebody employed. And I just want to make it abundantly clear. If you're paying someone to come to work to do nothing, okay, there's no output commensurate with that. Then it means then that becomes a drain on the public financial system. It then becomes a drain on the same foreign reserves because the central bank is taking money to give somebody to not work. And the reality is that we need growth. The only way that you get growth is if there's some level of output, some level of work that is tangible. That means that every day something has improved. And to the extent that whether it's the roads that are not being built, whether it is the garbage that is being left unattended around the country, whether it's the lack of water, the sewage, all of these things. So I'm saying to you that you have to spend money in the areas that will actually generate growth. Money will circulate. And these are the basic things in terms of how the economy runs.
All right. Thank you, sir. Mr. Hennis.
Yeah, thanks, Anchor.
What would the UPP do to return Barbados to stable economic growth? Two or three ideas.
Okay, one of the key things, and I'll talk about one of the key things, and I will funnel through to some of the other areas. One of the key things we wanted to look at is what we call the new economy. And in the new economy, there's right now an industrial revolution going on, and we pretty much have missed a lot of it. It's called the fourth industrial revolution. It's very much digital-led. It's services-based. And you can use the term STEAM, but it's not an acronym. It's actually a real thing. It's science, technology, engineering, arts, and maths. It's a combination of many things, and it's happening a lot very rapidly right now. It's actually an area that we haven't tapped into. When you measure it, one of the first solid measurements of it was done in 2013 by Ernst & Young. They came up with a value globally of about $2.25 trillion. Very critical. If you compare it against tourism, which is one of our other export-led areas, that same year, total global receipts for tourism came to about $1.25 trillion, okay? So it's actually globally twice that. Well, not twice, but let me use 1.7. I don't want to exaggerate numbers. Bigger than tourism in terms of as a multiple. It's very key. We haven't tapped into it. And the other critical thing is that when you listen to what the central bank governor said, he says that we're not growing. We need to generate growth, the export-led growth. And when you follow a lot of especially the 2006 strategic plan for the island, which was supposed to carry us through to 2025, the target growth rate was about 5% per annum. When we hit this season, and I'm not here to knock anybody politically. I'm here to just deal with matters as they are. And that's where I'm standing. If not, I would not be sitting here today. Because I started researching this thing even a year before I even hooked up with UPP. It was something of concern to me. And that's why I'm here today. So I just want to lay my cards on the table regarding that matter. But getting back to that growth factor, he basically said, look, that's the governor's central bank. We have to tap in those areas. And like I said, there were export-led areas with the services base that we have not hit into. And that STEAM encompasses a lot of things. It's a very high worth area that we haven't tapped into that we need to hit into and grow. It causes us to generate the income that we need. It's actually larger than the financial services sector itself. It's actually way larger. Sorry.
But do we have the expertise among the young people, among those persons who in mid-age, are they trained? Are they skilled? Do we have the people that we can immediately do this? Is this a medium-term or long-term goal? We have to talk immediacy here. Mm-hmm. What are the immediate goals? What are the long-term goals? Which is STEAM? Is this, I think it's more midterm, no, based on what I'm hearing here. But
well, STEAM, it's a combination, short-term, long-term, and okay. Continuing on. It's a thing because it's work that has already been done right now. But in terms of the short term, we have to do short term things like business facilitation, ease of doing business. We laid it out in the plan already. Even things like rechecking and re-examining all of our international business agreements, the trade agreements, and just really seeing in all of that where we can start to generate in the short term, especially, and build up that financial services sector again in the short term. It's all part of the original plan that we have. The ease of doing business, using technology so people can, get business done quicker. Again, it's part of our plan. But I call those what I would say our short-term measures. At the end of the day, we still have to look for long-term generating growth. The STEAM isn't in itself. It's already in action. But we haven't tapped in. Where do we find the resources? The resources are already there. We have
so apart from STEM. Sorry, I don't want to.
Sure, sure.
That's one. Mm-hmm. Give me the next one.
Okay. In terms of the balance of, in terms of the finance and the loans, the balance of payments, the foreign exchange reserves. Let me ease all the balance of payments. Let me check the foreign exchange reserves. We literally are going out, especially a shame point. We literally are going out to refinance. we're going to have to refinance. The reason why I started with Steve is because when you refinance, you're not just refinancing your debt at a lower interest rate, because we have been hit by higher interest rates by the downgrades, and we're not also being able to refinance as well. The reason why I mentioned Steve is because when you go to refinance, you're going to refinance, but you have to have a plan. You have to have a growth plan. So you're not just saying, okay, give us money to cover off our debts and we repay. But then you need to have a growth plan in place.
And when you say refinance, are we talking IMF?
That's one of the institutions we're looking at, because we already are a member of that institution.
Mm-hmm. And no. You had your chance, Mr. Strong. So you're talking IMF. You're saying that the UPP are looking seriously at going to the IMF or one the multilateral
lending financial.
In other words, to be able to refinance the
our debt
situation.
Right. Okay, that's already in the plan that we have in our new economy manifesto, right? Mm-hmm. But when you go, you're not just going to say lend us money and take whatever they're giving back to us, right? You have to go with a homegrown plan in this instance, mm-hmm. and that's the key thing. If not, you're just going to go and have to take whatever they give you, and that's why we.
But the Barbados government they have a homegrown plan. We have the Barbados Sustainable Recovery Plan.
I've read that.
What do you think of it and compare it to what you are suggesting from UPP?
Well, what we are suggesting really is a heavy foreign. We literally have to turn our economy inside out, right, and become heavily foreign exchange driven, export led, but services based. But it's not a new thing, because, like I said, it was already set up in 2006 to 2025. Finance strategy for Barbados. So that basically called us basically to become that services driven, but export led. That would alleviate a lot of the pressure on the foreign exchange reserve levels. It would also lead to economic growth. In terms of the young people, it's pushing about 25 to 30% unemployment rate. When you check the World Bank levels, it's actually one of the highest in the world, but I mean, ease off of that. It just means that we are not sucking them up into the areas that we need to put them into. And do we have the skill sets tonight? And yes, we do, right? When you check the programs offered by community college, by the university and such, we have what we call the intellectual capital base that is there. And it's very key. And one thing I would say, again, if you go right back to 1946, when the Moyne Commission, they specifically mentioned Barbados in that report. They said we are a very highly populated country. They said any plan back then to take people away from Barbados and distribute them around the islands would be good. So the people factor, we actually have one of the highest population densities in the world. So our base is intellectual capital.
And basically you're saying two things. One, the UPP will exploit that human factor by going through the STEM. That's one. But one of the first things you will be doing is looking at going to the IMF with your plan, your homegrown plan.
Right. I got to get that straight. It won't be a first thing. There are other key things in there we also have to do, right?
But enlighten us.
No, okay. You said three, right? Okay. So let me add, okay. Like I said, ease of doing business, things that ease of doing business, things that eradicating corruption. So we had a governance plan. I think Maria Phillips was on last week with that, okay? Yeah. And so essentially, to make business and transparency. The whole thing about financial transparency and transparency in doing business, using technology so people could see, for instance, what contracts are available, who gets them. You know, it's laying a good facilitation for business in the island. And the reason why I would say so, just to end off, and I know the reason why I would stress that point is because if you look at what the heads of governors of the CDB, Scarborough Development Bank, said, not just in the 47th, which was last year, but also in the 46th meeting, annual meeting that they had, they specifically said we cannot in this season necessarily. They want to encourage private sector-led growth. We can't really at all start to rely on government-led growth as it was in seasons before. And so things like facilitating, again, that's where we go back to ease of doing business. The whole thing has private sector-led now in this season. So when I talk about STEAM and entrepreneurship and stuff, it is really we have to take the emphasis off of government now and start to in last year's meeting, the President Warren Swift talked about it, right? Developing in new sectors. So it is not, we're not copying what he's saying, but we are seeing eye to eye on this because it's of critical importance.
Okay. Mr. Scott Weatherhead, I noticed that you shook your head just now when Mr. Hennis talked about the IMF, our international multilateral agencies assisting us refinancing our debts. What does Barbados Solution
Solutions Barbados.
Solutions Barbados. Sorry,
just to be clear, we're intrinsically opposed to going to the International Monetary Fund for financial assistance. We believe that a government needs the International Monetary Fund if it does not have the fiscal discipline itself in order to institute policies that will adjust its economic policies and bring the government's fiscal deficits in line. We believe that the policies that Solutions Barbados has proposed, and which have been published on our website for nearly 3 years now, provide the kind of fiscal discipline that we would need. And so therefore, why would we need to ask the IMF to give us such discipline? Yes, the IMF can provide funding, which perhaps is at a lower interest rate than some other institutions. And of course, the IMF can provide a program and some technical assistance and so forth. But this money can also be gotten from other sources. So while we're not seeing
other sources like who?
The Caribbean Development Bank, the other countries specifically, and other financial institutions. Now,
so you're talking China, UAE, Latin American banks?
Perhaps. The reality is that let's be honest, we're going to need some form of debt consolidation, okay? So the country is in tremendous quantities of debt. The interest rates are killing the government right now. When you look at what the percentage of government revenue is going to pay debt right now, it's ridiculously high and growing with every year, and they just continue to borrow more money. And this is going to become someone else's problem in future elections to come. Our proposal is not to continue this constant borrowing. We have outlined a four-step plan that's very concise and details how we will turn the economy around in a short space of time. Let me outline that for you. Step one is to increase government's local currency revenues in order to run the government and pay local currency debts. And this can be done by reducing taxes on personal and corporate revenues to 10% of gross revenue with no deductions. So we're going to change, as I said, our policy is completely different from the others that exist. We propose to completely change the current tax system from one that is a progressive tax system and change it into a flat tax system. So the first thing we're going to do is to change the way people are taxed. The reason why we have VAT and SRL and all of these other taxes now, these are band-aid measures that successive governments have put in place because our core tax system is totally inefficient. So if you have a more efficient tax system that captures everybody, then we don't have to have band-aid measures like VAT and NSRL and these other taxes placed on the population, which is designed really to capture everybody. If you have a tax system that's functional and efficient and captures all of citizens and corporations, then you can remove things like VAT and NSRL from the tax system, which is what we propose to do. So our first step really is to change the tax system as we know it today, getting rid of the current corporation tax rates of 25%. On 16-25% on profits to 10% on gross income, getting rid of the current income tax rates and changing that to 10% on income with no deductions. The second really is to increase the foreign currency reserves in order to pay for imports and foreign currency debts. Now, this can be done through several methods, and I'll expand on why our first solution also critically impacts the foreign reserve in greater detail as we go on. But one of the ways that we will positively impact the foreign reserve is changing the way people are taxed on foreign currency income. So if you're earning foreign currency, we will tax you at zero. If you're an IBC and you're earning foreign currency, right now they pay up to, I think, 3.75%, depending on the amount that they earn. So we're going to reduce the taxes that IBCs pay on foreign currency earnings down to zero, which would bring more foreign currency into the country. We're also going to change the tax rate. So if a business is earning some of its revenue in foreign currency and some of it in local currency, they will pay a very small rate on the foreign currency that they earn and the 10% on the local currency that they earn. The idea is to cause them to want to bring that money home. A lot of businesses earn a lot of money in foreign currency and they earn it offshore and they never return it to our shores. And so we want to encourage businesses that are earning foreign currency, such as hotels and other businesses that export, to bring that money into this economy. And so that's step two.
Let me interject here. Mm-hmm. This sounds fine. I mean, I can hear people sitting down around the radio saying, wow, more money in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that Barbados needs money to function. So if you're going to reduce all these taxes, how is the government going to get any money to run the country?
I will explain.
But please do, because you know we need to hear that right now.
So
how can you reduce income tax the way you're doing? How can you get rid of the NSRL? How can you get rid of the VAT
mm-hmm.
and still expect to be able to get the services that government provides done? We're talking short term here.
Sure. There are two ways, Sanka, for government to earn more income. The first way is to increase taxes and get that money directly from you. The second way is to reduce taxes and allow more money to flow in the economy, create a more efficient tax system, and benefit from volume in tax revenue.